have been speaking about the deep things of God, a book there is in heaven before him. It's written for them that reverence and thought upon his name. When I closed off my discourse on Friday morning with Malachi 3:16, you may have noticed I ran out of time to mention the Book of Remembrance. And I didn't expound on the next text, which is a very famous one, of the Lord's jewels. Many a talk could be made from that and has. But the Lord tells us he has a book of remembrance for the Lord's jewel. And so what a privilege it has been over these 3 days. Usually if I don't come away from a convention totally exhausted, then I haven't done my all. Maybe I have missed out on something. And we know the words of our Lord, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. But you know what? We had a lot of miniature conventions as well, at the dinner tables and the fellowship sessions as well, after the day's program. It was a special time for all, and all was provided by the Lord, and it was great treat of fellowship with those of like precious faith, both from overseas as well as from Australia. But God has this book of remembrance and a book of life, and the Lord takes full knowledge of his people. Our Lord encourages these with an assurance that their love and their devotion will have its reward in the future, that a grand change is coming, and every sigh and every tear and every sacrifice for righteousness' sake and for the love of the Lord will not be forgotten. For his cause and for his brethren, they shall be fully rewarded in a manner that is beyond the comprehension of our limited minds. They shall find that their light afflictions of the present, which are but for a moment, on God's grand scale, something else. It will work out for them a far more exceeding weight of glory, looking not at the things now seen, but looking at the things unseen, the eternal things, as 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 brings out. So we had at this convention a whole range of talks. It would have probably taken hundreds of hours of study. And a blessing has been had on undoubtedly by all. When we embroidery the needlework with one truth and its many shades of threads, we build up a very neat big tapestry. And when we reflect the colours and shades, we see what beauties were set. One goes to a convention, he's asked often to serve, and see the service as one thing. But one is providing the service, obviously loves the truth. They may say nothing new, but you see the love of the truth in the way they present it and the way they say it, and you get a rich blessing from those who serve. In Malachi chapter 3:17, as I mentioned, regarding the Lord's jewels, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. A jewel is a special possession that's described in Exodus 19:5, a peculiar treasure as Israel was, and it applies to the nation of Israel, but also to spiritual Israel. These words of Malachi seem to have a general application throughout the gospel age, and a particular one at the close of the age. And nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jehovah began to take up his jewels. The first of these jewels was our Lord Jesus Christ, who was polished, perfected, and taken up on high. But Jehovah did not cease his work there. With the perfection of his Son, our Lord, he has so arranged that other jewels be cut and polished in the image of his Son, and that they may share with him in the heavenly glory and the kingdom, as it is written, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto God works," in Ephesians 2 and 10. So these gems must be all found by God, who is making up his jewels, and having found of him, they are placed in the hands of the great lapidarist, our Lord Jesus, that he may cut and polish and fit them for the glorious work of shining with him in the kingdom. Our Heavenly Father has appointed our Lord Jesus to be the great master workman in the preparation of these jewels. The Lord says that in the day of preparation of these jewels, he will spare this class as a man spares his own son that serves him. He has not spared this class in the sense of relieving them from suffering. For if they were thus spared, they could not share in the glory to follow this trial time. God did not spare Jesus and the head over the church with Jesus' body, but he will not permit them to be tempted above what they are able to bear. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he has an interest in them, a sympathy for them, and delivers them from those things which would prove too weighty for them. So as I mentioned, God has been taking up these jewels for 2,000 years in a sense of preparation. But there's still to be a final gathering, an assembling of this clutch which has not yet been completed. The gathering of these jewels must include the resurrection, not merely of those who have been sleeping as members of the body of Christ, but those who are alive and remain at the end of the age, and these experience a change to the spiritual condition, as we have in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 and 52, change in the twinkling of an eye. But the mounting of these jewels, as it were, the Lord will show his own workmanship, what he has selected out of the filth and mire of the sinful human race, and what he has made of them with the divine skill, to the intent that they may reflect and refract the light of the glory of God, the divine character, his justice, his wisdom and love. These are God's jewels and are to have a spiritual resurrection and be the seed promised to Abraham through whom all the families of the earth are to be blessed. The Lord encourages these with the assurance that their love and their devotion shall have its reward in the future, and this grand change is coming. And every sigh and every tear and sacrifice for righteousness' sake, for the Lord, his cause and his brethren, will be fully rewarded in a matter that is beyond our present comprehension. They serve not for selfish reasons, but for devotion and from love. They shall find that the light afflictions of the present are a moment, and will work out for them a far more exceeding and exceeding weight of glory, as they look for things not seen, but the things now unseen, the eternal things. To this class he gathered out of the great mass of nominal spiritual Israel, as well as to a similar class that's gathered out of the nominal fleshly Israel in the harvest during the Jewish age, belong these precious promises of this prophecy. The elect remnant of Israel, fleshly Israel, including the apostles, the faithful early church, and the elect remnant of nominal spiritual Israel, the consecrated and faithful, will together constitute that body of Christ with their head, and will soon be kings and priests unto God. This is the seed of Abraham, in whom all the families of the earth are to be blessed during the millennial age. If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, as Galatians 3:29 brings out. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1, for behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evil doer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so it will leave them neither root nor branch. A time of a fiery trouble. So the pride, ambition, the worldly spirit, the spirit of selfishness will meet retribution, a time of trouble as never witnessed. And the Lord's anger will burn, as we know, against hypocrisies and shams, and will utter, destroy and consume such, but not the individuals. The burning days referred to is Zephaniah 3, verses 8 and 9. The Lord's anger and hypocrisy is against pride and every evil thing that will continue to burn through the millennial age, wherever such things are manifested. And as Revelations 20 and 9 gives, eventually all evil will be destroyed. In Malachi 4 and 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you'll go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Following the fiery time or day of trouble will come the new era, in which the Son of Righteousness will shine forth, dispelling the darkness of the present time, healing the wounds of sin, death, bringing in joy, peace, love and blessing. Then the righteousness shall rejoice in their liberty. Those who fear and reverence Jehovah will go forth under the new covenant and shall grow as the calves of the stall unto perfect human nature and eternal life. In chapter 4 and verse 5 of Malachi, behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. In the sending of Elijah, fleshly Israel expected the gathering of the dual class immediately. John the Baptist fulfilled this prediction as far as fleshly Israel was concerned. endeavouring to turn their hearts so they would be ready to receive Jesus in the flesh. But John the Baptist failed to turn them to repentance, and they crucified the Lord, and hence the curse of the time of trouble came upon that nation, destroying it in AD 70. The little flock has been throughout this age and an Elijah to the nominal system in the gospel age, exhorting it and seeking to bring it into harmony with God. It has failed to do as foretold in the scriptures, and hence the great time of trouble impend. Good reference is Volume 2, Chapter 8. Brethren, may we develop the right principles, the right heart condition, to be found worthy of having our names recorded in that book of remembrance that Malachi refers to. The minority faithful few to be in a position who do their all and want the Lord. We hope and pray and take away the lessons of Malachi that he tried to share with us so many years ago. To those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise and be led us, and then shall they be involved in the healing. That's the blessing part of the whole matter. So God's indignation against all unrighteousness will burn, cleanse, purify those who need upbuilding, and reversing the 6,000 years of sin as such. What a privilege it would be to be in that healing process of our Lord Jesus as the center sun. The church as his jewels will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. And our prayer is that we may be part of that company in the healing of the nations, where there is no more famine for the word of God. I wish you from the bottom of the heart Godspeed on your way home.